Omer of Oven Halevi, Kol Adochik Es Hashor, Shor Doch Koso. Whoever tries to push away the moment, there are things that are dependent on Mazel.
Mazel means that there are spiritual forces that limit a person's or give a person a framework within which to function. Mazel of a person is when he's born, how long he's going to live. It's not necessarily a punishment or a reward. It's just that everybody has a different amount of years to live in this world, and he functions within that lifetime. That's what the Rebbe Shlomo expects of him, not more, not less. That's the time that he has in this world. That has nothing to do with his schus or chova. That's to do with his neshama, and that's called his mazel. There are other things that are dependent on mazel also. When you're born, when your neshama comes into this world, where it comes into this world, who your parents are, rich, poor, what kind of body you're going to have, health, all these things are not necessarily determined by if you're a tzaddik or rasha or whatever. That's the framework within which a person has bechira. Okay, we usually think that we have free choice, meaning that unlimited choice. But if you think about it for a second, that's not true. Many of the choices that we have to make are very limited by who we are, what we are, what our experiences were, right? Even though there may be a way of seeing a little bit differently, but pashtus, okay? No one here made a choice whether he wanted to be a human being or an animal, or he wanted to be Jewish or not Jewish. He wanted to be born in this century or in the Middle Ages, in the middle of the Black Plague. He wanted to be born in America or in Eretz Israel or in Biafra, for that matter. Right? And obviously, the choices you would have had in this world would have changed drastically if your neshama would have come into this world in a different setting. Your choices are according to your setting, and that's what the Rabbanu Shalom wants from you. So those are called the shah, the moment. Right? There are moments that a person is put into that, again, have nothing to do with his free choice, but within those, what's it called, that setting, that's where a person's choices are. You can't choose the situations you're going to come into in life. God is the one who sends you the situations. You can choose how to relate to them, how to deal with them. That's where your free choice is. So a person who tries to push away the moment, right, and change his circumstances in a way that they can't be changed. Sometimes you can make a hishtadlus to try to change them. But certain times, that's the framework within which you're supposed to, right? A person's supposed to be poor, so he can do everything he wants in the world, he'll still be remain poor. Right? The Rebbe wants to be poor. It doesn't mean you shouldn't make hishtadlus trying not to be poor, but you should realize that there are things that are beyond your control. You can't control everything. And there are things that you have to accept and work within them, right? So if a person sees that the time is a certain, it limits him in a certain way, right? And it's pushing him a certain way. So if he resists it, he's not going to be successful. And if he, you know, flows with the tide, if he, what do they say, rolls with the punches, and he functions properly according to the limitations of his free choice, and he reacts with his free choice properly, right, then he'll be successful. In my estimation, that's what this means. As Bruce has spent a long time saying, is because we have time, and secondly, because it's a very important idea. Okay, by Sarah Imenu, it says that her life, she lived 127 years, kulan shavim latova, they all were equally for the good. Now, Sarah's life wasn't equally for the good, right? She had times that she was very good times, and times that were very bad times. The 90 years she was barren weren't as good as the 37 years she had Yitzchak. The day that she celebrated Yitzchak's birth or bris or whatever wasn't exactly the same good as when she was dragged to Paro or Avimelech. So Chazal didn't say they all were equally good, but all equally for the good. She utilized every moment, good or bad, she took in consideration what the moment was and she reacted to it properly. So that was for the good. She made it used for the good. That's for the good, not good. Okay. So Rav Oven Halevi, again, this is the way I understand this maimer, if you try to resist the moment, the moment will push you away. The chol hanidcha mipnei hashoah, and anyone who rolls with the moment, right? He takes the moment and uses it within the limitations that it limits him. Hashoah nidcha mipanav. Then the moment will be pushed away for him. Midrash of Rav Yosef, and the Gemara gives an example, right? How you can accommodate yourself to what is your misgeret, what is your framework. Okay, let's see Rashi first. Hadochek es hashoah, kigon Avshalom shebikesh limloch bechazka. Avshalom wanted to be the king, and he wanted to do it in a way that was with power, with against what was supposed to be. He wasn't supposed to be the king. Yet he wanted to push himself into a place where he didn't belong. He wanted to go out of his framework. So look what happened to him. You know what happened to Avshalom.
Okay. How does one know?
That's a big problem. Right? Usually, the Rabbanu Shalom lets you know. Right? It's something that's a mitzvah that could be that you would benefit or whatever. You make your shtadlus. If you see it doesn't go, then you take the hint. Right? If it's something that's not a mitzvah per se, doesn't have to be you. Like the Gemara says, person should try out by learning 5 years. If he's not matzliach, then he should realize that that's not for him. It's a Gemara. Right? So there the Gemara gives you a 5-year period of a trial period. Right? To say maybe that would be your place in life, to be a person who's toros lo naso. Try it out for 5 years, it doesn't go, then find something else. So the Gemara gave you an example of you have to try it out. If it doesn't go, then what's it? Well, you realize that's not for you. Right? Usually, though, the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't give you the opportunity to have the luxury of how do you know? Right? He pushes you where he wants you to be, whether you like it or not, and you have to function within that. There are only very small things that you could change one way or the other. Let's go on. What happened to Rav Yosef? The Rav Yosef Sinai, Rabba Oker Harim. Rav Yosef was a bucky. He was also blind. But he knew all of the brises and mishnais, everything he knew by heart. He had a tremendous amount of knowledge of facts, factual knowledge. And Rabba had tremendous mental powers of being able to compare things one to the other, ask questions and answer them or whatever. He didn't have the same database that Rav Yosef. He wasn't saying Baki, but he was a tremendous charif. Right? His mind was extremely sharp. Okay? He could ask questions, analyze things or whatever. It's the Richelahu Shaita, so they needed a Rosh Hashiva. Okay, so here again, Shaita means they needed to create a new framework. They needed somebody who was going to be the Rosh Hashiva. That's right, it's Tzarich Lehu Shaita. Shol Chulahas, look at Rashi, it's Tzarich Lehu Shaita, Lios Echad Mehem Rosh Hashiva. Time came for one of them to be Rosh Hashiva. One would now change his Mizgeret, and he would be a leader, a teacher. It's Tzarich Lehu Garsin, Hutzru Chulem Chachom, the Chachomim needed, right, so they didn't need a time. Means is that this Shah means a new situation. That's it, situation. Right? And that's why in Shemoneh Esrei we say that b'chol eis u'b'chol Shah doesn't necessarily mean every hour, every moment and every hour. It means Shah means the different situations that come up in life. Every moment. Right, time and all the things or situations come about because of time, place, circumstance, or whatever. That's a shoah. Okay. Sholchu lahasam, Sinai voker harim, ezu meim kodim. So first they ask the we have two candidates for Rosh Hashiva. One's a Sinai and one's an oker harim. Who comes first? Who should we choose? Right, each one has a mila that the other one doesn't have. Both of them had both knew plenty and were very sharp. But one was more sharp than he knew, and one knew more than he was sharp. So when it comes to a shiloh, which one is the ikker, who do we choose? Sholchu lehu, Sinai kodem. This is more in the end of Horios. They sent the answer, right? They asked the shiloh. The answer was, Sinai is first. Shakol tzrichu l'morichatya. Because you can be as sharp as you want. If you don't have any knowledge, right, the sharpness is worthless. Everybody needs the seller of the wheat. What you do with it after that, right, this one can make flour, this one can make bread, this one, whatever. But if you don't have the wheat, you can't make anything. So the main thing is what you know, the kiyus wise. The one who's a baki comes before the one who's a oker hari. Afal pikein lo kibul of Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef was supposed to be the Rosh Hashiva. Still, Rabbi Yosef said, I'm not accepting the position. Okay, I'm not accepting this new miskeret. Why? The Amri le Kaldoi, because the stargazers told him, right, the people, he read his horoscope once, and they told him, Malchus Tartin Shneem, you're only going to be a Rosh Hashiva for 2 years, and then you're going to die. So he didn't want to start the 2 years early. And the halacha is, he didn't go for a horoscope reading. Right? Just, Agav, somebody told him once, what's it called? He turned on his computer and he got this email, what's it called, that he's going to live for 2 years, be Rosh Hashiva for 2 years, or whatever, from somebody who decided to send him an email. So, he, what's it called? And your halacha is, you're allowed to be choshish for such a thing. You're not allowed to believe it, you know, as fact, but you're allowed to be choshish. That doesn't go against Tom and Tia, because again, here, these kinds of things are a miskeret. That's called mazel. Right? It's not reward, punishment, or whatever. That is the framework within which the Rabbanu Shalom gives you. You can use it for the good, use it for the bad, you can sometimes even change it. But you could be choshish that this framework is what you're going to have to function in, and if you're only going to be Rosh Hashiva for 2 years, you don't want to, like you said, start early. So Molach Rabba, Esri Mitarit and Shneem. So Rabba got the position, because it was either between Rav Yosef and Rabba, and if Rav Yosef didn't want it, then Rabba got it. And he was a Rosh Hashiva for 22 years. And Molach Rav Yosef Tartin Shneen Upalga. And after him, Rav Yosef was Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years. Now, either the half a year didn't count, because it wasn't a whole year. They told him only 2 years, right? Or he, B'schus, had an extra half a year, right? He was able to extend it beyond the limit that he was given. 2 years, he extended it with schus another half a year. Kol Hanav Shani, the Malach Rabba, Afilu Umna Lebeis Elokora. But the 22 years that Rabba was Rosh Hashiva, he also realized, I really shouldn't have this position. It's only because Rav Yosef, right, gave it up. So I'm not going to act like a big Rosh Hashiva and have the doctor come to my house for a house call, right? The blood letter. I'll go to him, right? Usually big people have the people come to them, to the house, right? Even if they had to be, even big people have the chokrim come to their house and they don't have to go to be nechter in the... Right, so they come to them. So Rabbi Yosef was being investigated, right? So they came to his house. Now we're a metzger, they came to his house. They're a big COVID, right? So something to look forward to. They come to investigate you or whatever. They come to your house, right? You don't have to go to be investigated into the police department in any case. So he didn't ever call even the blood letter to his house. He went, he didn't induct himself as a Rosh Hashiva, right, in as COVID, he forego that. Since he knew that really this wasn't the miskeret. So I think, even though the Gemara is bringing a proof from Rav Yosef, that he didn't try to push the issue. He realized that the miskeret he's put into is not, he's not going to be able to change it. So he delayed it. That's all. He let Rabba go first. But I think from the end also, you see, Rabba also didn't push the issue. He also realized in 22 years he was Rosh Hashiva. He shouldn't have been. So he didn't push the issue and didn't act out COVID of the Rosh Hashiva. He minimized that COVID to realize that the Mizgeret he was given, right, even though he was pushed into it to a certain degree, that wasn't really the Mizgeret he should have been in. Okay, see Rashi. Sinai. Well, you call Rav Yosef. They used to call Rav Yosef. They nicknamed him Sinai. Show you Bucky the Bryce's Harvey. He knew a lot, tremendous. He had tremendous bekiyas. Oker Harim. In those days, he didn't know Rabbi Ki Vegers and Rabbi Chaim Briskers or whatever. He knew all the Bryces. That was what existed. Right? He knew them, and he knew them the way Rabbi Ki Veger knew them, and Rabbi Chaim Brisker knew them, and 1,000 times more. Oker Harim, the Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. Rabbi Bar Nachmeni show you Mechud and Yosef Betilpo. He was really sharp. He knew how to questions and answers or whatever. Lemorichatya.
Why is that Oker Harim?
What? Hey, it's like that's the euphemism. You pick up mountains and what's it called? And tochen on zebazen. You smash them together and that way you resolve the mountains like a question. You pick up the mountain here, put them together, and you get the you resolve the question. Lemorichat, you're the misha kibet tvua limkart. Right, first everybody needs the guy who sells the wheat. The grain. Kolomer, Lemisha Kibet Shmuel. So one who has the material. You need the raw materials before you can do anything with them. The raw materials of learning is the knowledge, the fact. The Amri Le Kaldoil of Yosef, the stargazers told Rav Yosef, Malach Tartin Shnin. Omar Im Emloch Tchila. So he said, if I'm going to be the Rosh Hashiva first, almost the Sol Shnasai, I'm going to die after 2 years. The Nidcha Mitnashon, he realized that this was the moment. Right, this was the framework within which he had to function, right? The law of a limloch, and therefore he didn't want to become Rosh Hashiva at that point, because he didn't want to go against, right, the framework he was put in. If he would be Rosh Hashiva now, he would die in 2 years. He didn't want that. So he pushed it off. He didn't push off the moment, right? He didn't say, well, I'm going to be Rosh Hashiva and I'm not going to die in 2 years. Right? He accepted the fact, and he dealt with it accordingly. V'hashah omdalo. And the Maisa, because he was able to accommodate himself to his framework, he was successful. All those 22 years that Rabbah was Rosh Hashiva, he never acted with the authority of a Rosh Hashiva. He did the job, but he didn't take the covenant. Right, even a bloodletter, Hayaholich lebeis harofe, he went to him. The lohayishaleich lavoyla. He didn't make the bloodletter come to him. He went to the bloodletter.
Why is it's mashma the other way? It's Rabbi Yosef didn't call the bloodletter. In other words, he let Rabbi completely didn't take any charge himself. Rabbi Yosef.
Ah, could be.
I think more unfortunate. Hori is
different. And Hori says Rabbi Yosef is the one who didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, could be. It could be. Okay. Okay. But I thought on the second side, also Rabbah. If it's Rav Yosef, it's also. In other words, he didn't, not only didn't he take the job, he didn't even take any of the cover that he should have been given. Okay, could be. Okay, let's take a look at it. But did you say in Horis it's clearly like that?
I think so.
Okay. Okay. Right, the Rebbeinu Shlom, the God of Yaakov will answer you, and not the God of Avram and Yitzchak. Mikan lebal hakore shikonis ba'ovyo shel kore. The one who owns the beam, he's the one who has the responsibility for the beam. He has shikonis ba'ovyo shel kore. Is a euphemism to mean to accept the responsibility. If you own it, you have responsibility for it. See Rashi, Shiyoches Bal Hakora in Bal Letalkula Mimakol. If you have to carry a beam from place to place, the seat of the binyan to put it somewhere else. You have a beam and you're carrying its building materials. Kolomar Yaakov Shikol Habonim Shalal the Torah Begidulam Yavakish Shalem Rachamim. Yaakov Avinu had all these children, right? He's the one who was had all the tzar gidul bonim. More than the other Avos. The other Avos only had, Avram had Yitzchak, and Yitzchak had basically Yaakov, right? But Yaakov had 12 of the Shvatim, so he's the one, what's it called, that is responsible for them. So the Shvatim, the Klal Yisrael, emanate directly from Yaakov, indirectly from Avram and Yitzchak too, but directly. So Yaakov has that responsibility to be Mavakish Rachmim on his children. The Shvatim are considered his children, and we're all the Shvatim. So we have a responsibility. He has that responsibility. Marsha says a little bit differently. Why Dafka, what's the idea of Bal HaKorah? We get 100% exactly what the difference is, but he says, Midoso shel Yaakov. Right. midavar. He just says, from Rashi is mashma that he's the one who has to be mevakish rachim. He's supposed to daven, but it doesn't say that. It says Elokei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov, not Yaakov himself. So the Marsha says, therefore, it doesn't mean the Yaakov is the one who has to daven for them. Yancha Hashem Elokei Yaakov means the midah of Yaakov. Each of the Avos had a different midah. It's the midah of Yaakov that will be the benefit for Klal Yisrael, because he's the one who's responsible. Not that he is going to have to daven for them from the next world, but his midah will be the one that the Roshim uses to save them. Okay. Omer of Ovin Halevi, Kol Anehena Misuda Shetamet Chochum Shori Besocha. Anyone who has a hanor from a meal that a Talmud Chacham is at that meal, Ki'ilu Nehena Miziv Hashchina. So being Nehena, being in the proximity of a Talmud Chacham when he's eating, is like being Nehena Miziv Hashchina. Because it says by the Shchina, it says Vayiru Esra Elokim Vayochlu Vayishtu. That having a prophetic vision, right, of having that feeling of the Rabbanu Shem's closeness is mamish like eating and drinking. Okay, the Rashi learns a different shot there. If you look at the Svarno and others, right, it was a positive thing. They had hanor from the Shchina as if they ate and drank. It was so enjoyable, right? That's what's called mehenem yiziv Shchina. You enjoy the presence of the Rabbanu Shem. It's a spiritual feeling that surpasses the enjoyment of eating and drinking. Eating and drinking is a euphemism. Somebody enjoys eating and drinking in this world, enjoying having that pleasure of being close to the Ravon Shalom is like eating and drinking in this world. Okay. So therefore a person's nehenah misuda shetamet chachambo, right? So he has that feeling, that tremendous feeling of being close to a Talmud Chacham, is the same thing with eating and drinking. Could be for that reason, maybe we'll save it for tonight, that's why we make a siyum, when we make a Sudas Mitzvah, we eat and drink. Because the mitzvah itself is the pleasure of having a mitzvah, or finishing learning, that's the pleasure of having a closeness to the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? But in this world, we can't really appreciate what that is. The closest thing we have is to know how it feels to eat and drink. So you eat and you drink to get a little bit of a feeling that the mitzvah that I'm having is the same kind of enjoyment. I just ate up a mitzvah. I just ate up a mesechta. Right? Okay, I'll say it for tonight. I wasn't planning to say that, but that's the idea. So it says, Vayavo Aaron v'chol zikne Yisrael lecho lechon im chosei Moshe lifnehu Elokim. It says that Aaron and chol zikne Yisrael came to eat bread together with Yisro, lifnehu Elokim. What's l'chi lifnei Elokim achlu? V'halo lifnei Moshe achlu. Moshe was there. It doesn't mention Moshe came. Right? In other words, they came to eat with Moshe. So they came to eat lifnei atamet chacham Moshe Rabbeinu. Elo lomar l'chokol anhen misudu shetamet chacham shar besocha. If you eat in a meal and the tamet chacham is there, kilu nehenem iziv ashrina. It's mamish like being nehenem iziv ashrina. V'omar Reb Avin, the Omer of Ovin, Halevi, Hanifta Mechadero, Al Yomer Lo Lech Bisholom. When you say goodbye to a living person, don't tell him Lech Bisholom, go in peace. Ela Lech Lisholom, go towards peace. Shari Yisro, Shomer Lo Moshe Lech Lisholom, Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu Lech Lisholom, Olav Yitzliach, he was Masliach, took Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. David, Shomer Lo Lav Sholom Lech Bisholom, but David told Avsholom Lech Bisholom, Holach Venikla, he ended up being hung. So the Marsha explains what most everybody says here, just little variations. A living person is always growing. He's always going towards Shalom. Shalom is Shlemus. He's always going towards perfection. He's never reached his perfection. You're always moving towards other goals, right? You're living, you're moving, you're growing. So if you tell a person Lech Bishalom, you're intimating stagnation, stagnating. If you're stagnating already, then terrible things happen. So you always tell a person who's alive, grow. You're always going towards somewhere else. You're always doing something. You're not remaining stationary. A person who's dead isn't growing anymore. He's reached whatever shlemus he has. So you tell him, Lech Bisholem, go without whatever shlemus you've already reached, go with that. You're not going towards any more shlemus. Even though we'll see the next maimer, Lechora contradicts that. The Omer Reb Avin Halevi, Anifter min Hameis, Al Yomer Lo Lech Lisholom, Lech Bisholom. Shenemer, V'yata Tovel Osecha Bisholom, which we just said. Omer Reb Levi Barchia, Hayotze Mi Beis HaKnesses, V'nichnas Lo Beis HaMedrish, V'osik V'tora, Zoch Mekabel Pnei HaShechina, a person who leaves Shul and goes immediately to Beis Medrash. Okay? Daven at the first minyan, and immediately you go to learn that, right? Zoch Mekabel Pnei HaShechina. So you're Zoche and you're Mekabel Pnei HaShechina. Shenemer, Yeuchu Michael El Choyel, Yires Elokim B'tzion. And once I want to say the idea is that the Beis HaKnesses represents Chai Shoah. There you daven for your temporal life, parnasa, health, those kinds of things, this world. Beis Medrash is where you're involved in the next world. Right? Torah is called Chai Netzach, not Chai Shoah, Chai Olam. So a person who goes directly from Shul to the Beis Medrash, so he knows that the purpose why he davened in Shul for his temporal things is to use them for eternal things. So he goes Michael al Choyel. He's what's it called? Is Zochel Kabel Pnei Hashchina. The person who leaves the Shul and doesn't go to learn, so he leaves himself just with the temporal things for the sake of temporal things. So he's not going to be Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. He'll get maybe what he davened for, but it's not going to be used as a tool to have Chayei Netzach, which is Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. That is what Olam Haba is. So a person who understands to put the shul together with the Beis Medrash, right, make one unit, right, that's the purpose of what you daven for in shul, is to be able to use it for something eternal, then you got the message. So you're going to be Mechav Pnei Hashchina. Om Reb Chia Barashi, Om Arav, Talmidei Chachomim, Ein Lohem Menucha, Lo Bolam Hazeh, Velo Mabo. Talmidei Chachomim don't have rest, not in this world, not in the next world. Which, Marsha says, seems to be a little difficult to understand. Because Lamaisa, the next world is Kulo Manucha, right? That's what the next world is. It's rest, right? So it doesn't mean they don't have any rest. Shenemer Yelchu Michael El Choyel Yir Elokim B'tzion, right? So let's first read Rashi, and I'll tell you what the Marsha says. Nifter Min Hameis Keshayu Molichin Aronos Shemakol Makom. When do you say goodbye to a Nifter? So Rashi says it's not by the cemetery, even though by the cemetery we do say this after the person's buried. We say Lech B'Shalom, the Sanuach B'Shalom. Go in peace, rest in peace, and get up to your lot in the future world. Okay? But Rashi says, where do they really say goodbye to a mace? When they were transporting an aron from place to place. They buried somebody in a different city, right? So the people in one city would escort the mace till the end of that city, and then the people from the next city would take over and be malavim through that city. Right? Right? They would have shifts of people. People couldn't take off, you know, and go for weeks to another place. So they switched with shifts. They went to one city, then the people from that city brought them to the next city, and the people from that city to the next city, and so on, until they buried them. V'achozrim kori niftorim. The people who leave the nifter at that point, today, you take an aron to the airport to fly it to Eretz Yisrael. So that not everybody goes to Eretz Yisrael. So they go to the airport, the malava, the nace to the airport. At the airport, they say goodbye. Right? And then they go on. So at that point, when you leave the nifter, right, your niftorim, min ha-nifter, notlim reshus li potter mimenu. So they say to him, Lech b'shalom. Ain't lahem menucha, mi yeshiva li yeshiva, medrash al medrash, no menucha. Right? There's not even one day vacation for Amud Yomi. Tomorrow we start Shabbos already. There's no vacations. The Marsha says what it means is, of course, in Olam Haba there's menucha. But menucha. Marsha says something here. I saw something else also nice. He says Olam Haba, right, is Kula Menucha, right? The Yom Shukur Shabbos Menucha. He says, what does it say? It says that the world, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so it was missing one thing. It was missing Menucha. Shabbos came and Menucha finished off the world. Okay. So what does that mean? Right, the world needed menucha. Menucha is a negative thing. Not negative, it's a passive thing. It's not an active thing. So what does it mean? Shabbos came. So he says the menucha of Shabbos is being able to sit and learn, right, and use your mental powers, physical powers, right, are what's the work of the week. Those are the physical work. Shabbos is a time where you don't have to work, so you rest, but that rest means you go to sleep. It means you physically rest so you can mentally, be active. So that's what Olam Haba is. Where tzaddikim, yoshvim, vatrosim, and the henemizim vashchina, they're not just sleeping the whole time. Olam Haba is not, you put on your bathrobe and your slippers and just sleep for the rest of eternity. Right? You're involved mentally, you're totally involved mentally, but not physically. So that's called physical rest, it's called rest, but it's mental activity. So tzaddikim never have any menucha. In this world, they're constantly busy, even physically. And in the next world, they're constantly busy mentally. So yeichu mechayel achayel. This world, they're doing mitzvahs and whatever physically. They don't have a rest. They don't take a rest in this world. In the next world, the mele, they're not resting mentally. So they go mechayel achayel. That's what the marsha says. So that's what we today for the seal. Olam Haba is machlokus, what it means. According to the Ramban, it's Tfiyas HaMeisim. Yeah, whatever the last stage in the world is, right, even according to the Ramban, that Tchias HaMeisim is called Olam Haba, it's not a total physical world. It's a physical world where you don't really need to be involved physically, you just have a physical body, but it's basically a spiritual world. Why you need a physical body in a spiritual world, that's a different question, but that's the one. This is why you have to see.
7:30, Marv is up here. CM should be starting.